Well, greetings in the name of Jesus.
This morning I do want to talk about mystery of marriage. One of the things that prompts me so much to talk about this is a lot of the counseling we get involved with. And one of the things I see over and over and over is the world system pressing in on our marriages. And it's so evident. It's so realistic. But the reason I believe it's so evident and so realistic is we do not talk about God's purpose, the biblical examples, the God's reality of what he intended. And what happens so many times that I see is we start making jokes about something that God has created. And we profane the name of God, whether we know it or not. Because we take something that God has instituted and we make perverse, sidelining jokes and we laugh at it. And I caution that very seriously. I've been there. It turns my stomach today when I hear a joke about sexuality in a perverse manner or any kind of manner, because it's a God thing. It is God's ordained the way he chose to have it. He created it, and yet we laugh and mock and make all kinds of jokes about it. And I wonder what kind of darkness must be settling over a group of people if we do that, instead of understanding the truth of God's word. In Ephesians 5, it says, in verse 32, it says, he goes through a whole order. If I got time at the end, I'm hoping to get there. We'll see how much time we have. But in verse 32, after he got done talking about all about marriage, then he says, this is a profound mystery. But he says, I'm actually talking about Christ and the church. So you start looking at how Christ, what he did for the church, and then we start looking at husbands. What are you doing for your wives? Are we doing the same things? What do we do? Just as Christ did the church. And we're gonna get to that. But before we get started on that, I'd like to go all the way back to the beginning of the Word of God, where it says, then God said, and I want us to understand, every one of us was created as an image bearer of an almighty God. An image bearer. Next time you stand in front of the mirror and you look at yourself, tell yourself that's an image bearer of the Almighty. You are an image bearer. What you do with it is very, very important. Very important. You are an image bearer of the Almighty. When you stand in front of a mirror and look at that, I want you to remind yourself, I am an image of God. I was created in God's image. Then God said, let us make Andrew in our image, in our likeness. Personalize these verses one time and think about it. Then it says in verse 27, so God created Andrew. I'm going to keep using it. Is that okay? Listen. So God created Andrew in his own image. In the image of God, he created Andrew, male. And he created Jody, female. And he created them, both. He created male and female. Verse 28, God blessed Andrew and said to him, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. That's what he created him for. Jumping over to Genesis 2, then verse 7, then the Lord God formed Andrew from the dust of the ground and breathed into Andrew's nostrils, the breath of life. And Andrew became a living being. And many of us just thought the doctor spanked us on the rear end when we were born and we started breathing, right? No. God himself breathed life into you. And he intended it that way because you're an image bearer of the Almighty. This don't just happen. This isn't just by accident. This is reality. Verse 22. Genesis 2, verse 22. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. Now I want to start talking a little bit about, I wasn't supposed to get there yet. Let's back that one up a second. No, I'll go ahead. We'll go through it. He brought her to the man. I'll get to this. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. And I want to go back to here. I got to talk about this just for a minute. Some of you probably heard me say this before, but in Genesis, and I don't have time to go through it all, so I'm just going to paraphrase, or DLS version, Dwayne Sensic version. But here's Adam, and God created Adam, and he gave him all the rules to the garden, everything. He told him what he's allowed to eat, what he's not, and he told him how to take care of it. And then he had created all the animals before this. But then he takes all the animals and he marches them in front of Adam. And he tells Adam, go ahead, you name them. Whatever you name them, so shall it be. Very factual. Just very factual. Whatever you call it, that's what it's going to be. Now, I often say, you know, if a woman would have been sitting there, I wonder what that would have been like. No, that don't feel right. No, that name don't feel right. No, but God just simply told Adam, name it. Set order to chaos, okay? Everything was chaotic. There was no names for this stuff. So he asked Adam to set it in order. Then he created woman. And it says there in verse 22, then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. Where was she? Where was she? The picture I always get when I think of this here is woman was made in the spiritual realm. She is connected. You hear a woman's intuition, okay? It's like a woman walks around with antennas on her head. She feels and senses things in the spirit world. Men are not going to feel and sense. Okay? Women's intuition, we call it, and I call it spirituality. It's or reality, the way God intended it. But then the scary part, this is why women were never ordered or were ordered not to lead men. Because not every voice they hear is the voice of God. Not every spirit they're connecting with is from the kingdom of heaven. There's all kinds of spirits. And man is called to set these things in order. So here they are in the garden, and here comes Satan in the form of a serpent. Who does he come to first? Who did he come to? Eve. Why? Because he was also a spirit, and he knew he could connect with someone that is connected spiritually a whole lot easier than he could trick Adam at that point. He comes in there and he convinces her, and she even knew that Adam had told her that we were not allowed to eat from this. And I just picture Adam at that very moment standing right beside Eve, and he wasn't man enough to reach out and say, Eve, no, that is not coming from God. Women, are we open? Are you open? Not we. You. Open enough to trust your husband in setting things that you feel and sense in order. Are you open to letting them do that? That's the way God created it. That's what he intended. And he truly is working in that order. That order has never changed with the fall of man. That order did not change. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and he's united to his wife and they become one flesh. That does not mean that men should not hear their wives. They need to be discerning. Men need to have the facts. Men need to be leaders that are understanding the word of God and what is God asking so that they can understand when a woman comes with some of these feelings and things that are going on, he will know whether or not it's coming from God or the kingdom of this world. Where's it coming from? Men, you need to know that. That is your responsibility. I can't stress that enough. That's why I believe some of our worlds are falling apart. Our divorce rate is so high because men are afraid to lead. When the woman saw this was what happened, she also, I want you to catch this, because when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her. So he was right there. And then he ate it. And this is the picture of what I see happening. Woman was going to insist to lead the man. She gave this to her husband. When the husband knew that this was not coming from God, he knew the facts. And he did not say no. So he just kind of bowed down and took it and, well, you know. And then he even blamed her when God came looking for him. This whole idea of the woman giving to her husband some kind of spiritual direction or some kind of input like that, there is no different than man trying to lead Jesus. It's no different than man trying to lead Jesus. God has an order, and we must understand it. I'm not making women doormats. We'll get to all this. There's a whole lot more to this. We just need to understand that God has an order, and that order has not changed since the beginning of time, and it will not change until time ends. It's not a matter of, well, you just think you're better than me, or you're just a male chauvinist. No, I'm not. I understand some spiritual principles that are going on in here when this is going on. Then look here in verse 8, Genesis chapter 3. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Who did the Lord call out to who was responsible for what happened? The Lord called out to the man. Listen, we are responsible. There's no beating around the bush. A man is responsible. And at that time, it was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, man, woman, and God went directly to the man and said, what have you done? Where are you? Because man was supposed to be leading his wife. Man was supposed to be leading his wife. And he come to the man. And anyway, you know all the excuses that went on there. And he said it was her. It was that woman that thou gavest me. And no. Man, you are responsible for what is going on. Now, then it goes on in Genesis 3 and says, this is what happened then because they fell. And he told the woman, he said, I will make your pain in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband. This is exactly what he's talking about. That same word desire is used in Genesis chapter 4 when Cain was sitting there and God said, the Satan desires to have you, desires to control you. That's the same word. And this is the principle. Your desire will be to rule your husband. It's the same principle it's trying to use there. The same word is used in the old language, in the Hebrew. It's just like this here. Her desire will be for this. But he will rule over you. That's not just a cute little cliche. That's not just some little cute saying in the Bible. That's a fact. That's the way God intended it. Anything outside of that there gets disrupted. And it gets all kinds of bad signals. It gets all kinds of chaos going on. And just look around. I mean, you see it everywhere. Now, he went on. Okay, this is going all the way into Mark 7. And he went on. What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All those evils come from inside a person, and they defile a person. Several verses here, and I want to get into some more word pictures. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own flesh or their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Again, look at yourself and say, I am an image bearer. That's who I am. I'm an image bearer of the Almighty God. Now, your bodies are a temple. And I want to look at something here real quickly about a temple. Our body is a temple of the living God. I'm not sure, but that one keeps flashing. Is this one flashing too? Okay, something. Your temple is the body of the living God. I don't have time to turn there. In the script, in the New Testament, when Jesus walked into the temple, a building, okay, he walked into that temple building, and he saw money changers and things going on and people buying and selling and cheating each other and ripping each other off. What was his first response when he walked in there? He got down and started praying, right? Well, he started preaching to them. He started going to church more often to get rid of them. No. He formed a whip and he drove them out. He drove them out. Now I want to show you something. We today, this is what the temple back then was like. In the center of that temple building where Jesus walked in and he saw all this junk going on and he drove it out, there was a room called the Holy of Holies. Who went in there? Who went in there? High priest. Okay? In your Holy of Holies is your spirit. And the only one that dare go in there is Jesus, the Christ, the high priest. Okay? But here's what was happening. Then in our soul, or our mind, will, and our emotions is like our inner courts. And in the inner courts, these things got set up. People got set up stealing, killing. I mean, not killing. They weren't, I don't know if they were killing. They might have been killing. I don't know what's all going on, but they were ripping people off. On the inner courts, they went in there and set up shop and started doing things that were against the very nature of God. This is where it happens inside of human beings. It's against the very nature of God. And some people will tell me, but it feels so right for me to tell my husband what to do. Oh, yeah? Sorry. I don't know how feelings get wrapped up in that, but this is what happens. We get these things parked in our inner courts. And it is called strongholds. It's just like this. On that day, when Jesus walked in there, he had all these people that had set up shop to rip people off and to lie to them and to convince them of things that were not true. And Jesus comes in there and he chases them out. Today, in our inner courts, we got these things going on. Pornography. Romance novels, soap operas, and coarse joking. And you could put a whole bunch more in there. And it distorts the very nature of who we were created to be. It distorts everything about us. It's not what God intended at all. It's not at all what he intended. And he commands us, don't think that just going to church more often is going to get rid of any one of them. It's not going to happen. Don't think that if you pray more often, it's just going to get rid of it. And I'm not telling you don't pray. I'm just telling you that these things need to be driven out, and we need to take a stand, ultimately, in our spirit. We need to take a stand against these things. They dare not have a place in our life. If it's going on, doing all the right things will never get rid of them. Just doing right will not get rid of them. We are commanded to cast them out in the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you come against them things dead on with what is going on, you have the power in the name of Jesus to remove them. Every one of us has the power to do that. So, in marriage, do you have a worldview? Is it all what you learn through pornography and the world lusts out there? Is that what your view of marriage is? Or a biblical view? What is our view of marriage? What do we understand about marriage? What has anybody ever sat down and taught about marriage? That's why I believe there's so much joking and so much junk goes on in our churches. How do you know? If you have a worldview or a biblical view, how do you know? How do you know what's going on? Well, first of all, I want you to ask yourself, what's in your inner courts? What's going on in there? What do you find funny about immoral jokes? And what do you find funny that's going on inside here? What do you look for? What's happening in your soul? What's happening on your inner courts? What you focus on, you will become. If you want to focus on pornography, if you want to focus on romance novels, even Christian pornography, same thing. What you focus on, you will bring into your marriage. You will. Whatever your focus is, that's what you'll bring into your marriage. So if you're focusing on what the world says marriage should be or what's happening all around out here instead of on what God's saying, you're going to bring that into your marriage and you're going to have a worldly marriage or worldview of marriage and you can't figure out why this don't work. What you focus on, you will bring into your marriage. Are you focused on world lies or God's truth? Okay, let's look at a few verses here. Ephesians 5:4 says, "Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking." And I want you to catch this. They are out of place. They don't belong in the inner courts. They need to be driven out. They have no room in the Christian life. They must be driven out. He says, "Which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving." Colossians 3:8, "But now you must also rid yourselves of all such thing as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from our lips." Marriage never fails. Do we agree? Marriage never fails. Some of you heard me say this before, so just marriage never fails. It's true. Marriage is a covenant designed by God, and God never fails. I shared that at the women's prison the other day. I don't remember what part of it was, but I just brought that up. And I said, marriage never failed, and they didn't agree with that. And when I brought it out, I said, marriage is a covenant designed by God, and God never fails. People fail. Marriage never fails. We got to stop nailing it as marriage is failing. Marriages do not fail. People in marriages fail. Because marriage is a covenant designed by God, and He has an order. If that order is not followed, then people are going to fail because they chose not to follow God's order. That's what's happening all around us. That's why the divorce rates get so high. We don't want to agree with God's order. And when that gets out of sync, and then we think, well, it's just not working. And the marriage don't work. Yeah, it does. God's got an order. And all it takes is simply understanding His order. Very simple. Hard to live out sometimes with all the stuff that's going around us. Here's a picture, okay? In Philippians 2, this is what I'm talking about here now is God's order. As we understand God's order, first of all, we have God and His Son Jesus, okay? In Philippians 2, He says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God. But He did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. He actually humbled Himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross. Okay, so He, even though Jesus was equal with God, He chose to humble Himself to God. He didn't even count it something to be trying to grasp a hold of. He didn't even try and do that. Then there's man, then there's woman. Ephesians 5 says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, His body of which He is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. How many things? But what if he don't do what I want him to? Oh, well, I don't see that there. And what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. So wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Spiritual? Everything. Everything. Does that mean that woman is less than man? Absolutely not. She is equal with man. Just as Jesus was equal with God. Just as Jesus was equal with God. But Jesus did not count it something to try and contain or attain or learn or do is to become greater than God. Likewise, women, it's not that you're less. It's God's order. It's simply His order. And then we have children. But here's what's happening all around us. All around us. We have children trying to tell mom what to do. We have children trying to lead the parents. Because we don't no longer want to discipline because it's against the law, right? Some places it's against the law. So when we have that going on, then we have women trying to lead their husbands. And the same likeness as a man trying to lead Jesus or Jesus trying to lead God. We have a reverse psychology order going on in our whole world around us. It's all around us. It's not that anybody, any one of them is less than any other. It's simply His order. It's simply His order. And if man and woman, if you're born again, you are equal with Jesus Christ. And therefore, we would be on the same level as God. We're equal with Christ. We're brothers and sisters. We're children of God, but we're equal with Jesus Christ. And yet we choose to submit. And we choose to submit to Jesus Christ, and women choose to submit to man. Now, here's a verse I want to read with that. In Ephesians. Oh, no, that's not it. Turn with me real quick, Colossians chapter 3. If you have your Bibles there, Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 18. It says, wives, submit to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. What does that mean, as is fitting in the Lord? What's the Lord's order? What did God lay out His order? So as He laid the order out, just as it is fitting in that order, wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, Love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, there again, we're going to get into more of that at the end here. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything. Uh-oh. You serious? Children, obey your parents in every... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says it right here. God never lies. His word's truth, right? Verse 21. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. So if we're going to flaunt it over them. But still, we need to take the order very seriously. Because here's what happens. We don't understand it quite in the world around us here, what we see. But I will promise you the spirit worlds understand whether your household is in order or not. The demonic and the heavenlies understand whether your household is in order. And they know if the man is the head of the home. Because they know that when the man is the head of the home and everything is in order and he is following and seeking out and trying to continue to walk with God and understand that he's responsible for his wife and all his children and that anything that happens spiritually is going to come through the father. So he's the doorman in that whole family. And if he opens the door to pornography or anything else that's going on, every one of his children is going to be bam. It's an instant given. You can nail that everywhere you want to look. It's a spiritual concept that comes right down through that we need to understand. We must get a hold of this. It goes on for 3 and 4 generations, and we can't understand. We try and do this behavior modification. We try, well, you shouldn't act like that. No, you shouldn't act like that. It's not an acting thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's coming from a spiritual darkness because we don't want to understand what's happening out here in the spiritual world around us. If we could actually see what's happening out there, I think we'd all just pass out. It is real. It's very, very real what's going on out here. And we men must get a hold of that for everything it's worth, that we are responsible all the way down the line, from our children to our grandchildren. Whew. Slaves, verse 22, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. So it's all for reverence to the Lord as we understand His order. Everything is about understanding His order, so it's reverence to Jesus, to God. It is the Lord Jesus you are serving. Okay, wait a minute. Verse 24. Okay, verse 23. Back up. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Sometimes they'll say, well, I ain't going to do that there for my husband. I'm not going to listen to him. Do it. Not as unto him, but do it as if you're doing it for the Lord. He's the head of the man. Do it as if you're doing it unto the Lord. This is God's order. It's not about whether you're not a doormat in that sense. You're doing it as unto Jesus Christ. Because it's His order. Then listen to this here. In verse 24. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. You know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward for understanding this order. It is the Lord Christ you are ultimately serving. Then verse 25. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. So whether it's this way going the wrong way or this way being abused, there's no favoritism. You will be punished for doing it wrongly. It'll play out through all your children. It will play out down the lines. It does. I can't explain all that in the spirit world, but it's very, very real. It's hard to explain God. It really is. It's hard to explain something you can't see. But you know what? If we don't want to understand that that's a spiritual concept, it would be just like many times you've heard going out on the end of a building and thinking, well, I just don't believe that there's any gravity because I can't see it and it don't make no sense. Well, jump off the roof and it's going to be a fact that there's gravity. Okay? Go open your door, men, to pornography or some type of illicit immorality and you will be affecting right down your children. You don't have to argue with anybody about that. It's the same as gravity exists, the same as that spirits exist. The same thing. You are the doorkeeper to your family. You're the doorkeeper to your household. And God, when the day comes, when He comes to visit, just like He did Adam and Eve, He did not go to the woman. He went right to the man. Men, he's counting on you. He's counting on you. Marriage. Switching gears just a minute. Anybody know why a man gets married? Love to a man equals respect. Respect. What is it for a female? Come on, women. Y'all know what it is. What is it? Security. I want to know that I'm safe. I want to know that I'm loved. I want to know that I'm cared for. And a man wants to know that he's respected for being a leader. And it's not because he's some hotshot, macho ruler. It's simply God's order. That's all it is. It's all God's order. It's basic. The world can call it what they want. That's why it's being destroyed. That's why it's being attacked so hard. That's why our marriages are being torn down. Because Satan understands his time is short. And he knows that if that is corrected and that gets right in a relationship, there's a lot more Christians going to be coming into this world in the next 20 years if we understand what's going on. And they're going to be sound and full of life. And they're going to raise Cain against the gates of hell. And he don't want that. So he comes in and distorts it in every way he possibly can. Body, soul, and spirit. Each one of us is created with all three. In a marriage, all three are very, very important. It takes all three. And when all three of them are connected, when a man in his feelings is understanding his spouse in her feelings, and when a man in his spirit is connected with his spouse in spirit, then also in body. Then this is what happens. God in heaven says in Matthew 18:19, again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. And right before that it says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Whatever the two of you agree on will be done. I know before that it's talking about a brother sinning and all that. I want you to get this in the marriage concept because it's very, very, very real in body, soul, and spirit that we understand each other completely. It's so important to me that people would understand what is happening inside here, not just on the outside. Here's some verses that deal with what's inward, what's inside of a person. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, or it would be their soul. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Luke 11. And the Lord said unto him, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Listen, if there's stuff like that going on in our inward parts, don't expect your marriage to work at all. You can make it look good right here on a Sunday morning. I mean, it's just a fact. We can put on all kinds of facades. But ask yourself, what is going on? What's inside? What's going on in there? Romans 7 says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. He even delights in the law of God after the inward man, your spirit and your soul. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of the mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, it would be the law of sin. So we're going to follow what's going on all around us here. We've got to turn around and focus on the law of God. Whatever you focus on, you will bring into your marriage. For which cause, 2 Corinthians 4, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is being renewed every day by casting out all these things that do not belong there. They have no place in the Christian's life. Ephesians 3, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. There's another place that talks about the Christ in you, the hope of glory. I can't get enough of that. It's so important. All we tend to focus on is our outward layer here. And there's so much of what's going on in here that needs to be dealt with. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Talking about our inner man. What is going on in here? What are we making agreements with in here that we can't figure out why it don't work out here? Here's the concept. And I want to be careful, but at the same time, I need you people, I need to understand it as much as anybody else. Okay, it's not about you people. It's about just getting some understanding of what's going on. We got man and woman, and each one of us has a body, soul, and a spirit. Most times, all we ever understand is what happens in the body. Man connects with woman, and it brings forth life. Now, several things can happen there. Man can force himself on his wife, and it would be brutal or rape. But woman can receive man, and he plants seed, and out of that comes, and she can nourish it and cherish it, and out of that comes life. Or she can choose to abort it. That is an option. It's not what we choose, but it's an option. Or she can completely reject her husband and say, you ain't, it's a done deal, right? Okay, what about, that's generally where everybody quit. They only understand that part. What about the soul? What about what's going on in the soul? What about the soul of your spouse? What do you think's happening here? And men, you're responsible. By the way, she cannot plant seed inside you and you have a child. You know that. Okay? This works the same way in the soul. Same concept, same principle. Words of light or encouraging words. Okay? Encouraging words. Speaking words of life into another, into your spouse's soul is so real. They need to hear it. They're there for security. Okay? But men, you're responsible. God is counting on you. You're the leader. Okay, now woman, you can actually reject that. I don't want nothing to do with it. Wow, he don't really mean it anyway. You know? Yeah, he says that all the time. Yeah, whatever. Okay? Or you can receive it with joy and then turn around and abort it and want nothing to do with it and still get bitter. Or you can take the words that your husband speaks into your soul and you can nourish and cherish them and it will bring forth life to your marriage. It will bring life. In the spirit, it works the same way. And if you would, I'd turn to Ephesians 5, verse 25. In the spirit, it works the same way. And in Ephesians, it talks about washing your wives in the water of God's word. And they can do the same thing. You can reject your husband that you don't ever receive a washing of the water of the word. Or you can receive that and nourish it and cherish it, and it brings forth life in the spirit to your marriage. It really does. Now, look at Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? How did Christ love the church? He came to set the church free from the bondage of sin and traps of this world system. Men, we are called to do the same things for our spouses, for our wives. To set them free from all condemnation, all things that are going on, and especially from this world system, all the lies that are out there. We are called to set our wives free from that. Because you were called to set things in order and understand the laws of God. Understand what's going on in the spirit world. Understand that there's a spiritual concept and that you are called by God to put things in order. Just as Christ did the church. And then he even gave himself for it. But he gave that willingly. He had the authority to do that. He didn't just roll over like a doormat. He gave himself for it for purpose. There was a purpose for why he did that. It wasn't for just no reason to be a doormat. That's not at all what it was. Okay? But he did it for this. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy. Men, set your wives apart. They're special. They're not like any other woman out there. Your wife is special. And you need to set her apart as that all the time. Speak it into her. Tell her. Because she is anointed for you. She is there for you. That's who she is. Don't get your eyes looking all around, okay? This is what God is asking. That's why you're responsible. They keep speaking that in. Set her apart to make her holy. Holy means set apart. Set apart. Just for you. If we're holy, we are set apart just for God. Okay? So you may do this to make her holy, to set her apart. Cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Taking her faults, men, taking her faults and letting her know you forgive her. Set her free. Jesus Christ did that for you and I. We need to understand that. And then we are called to do the same thing. No condemnation on our spouse, on our wife. To set her free. Wash her in the water of God's word, that if she makes a mistake, that she already knows that she can come to you and you've already forgiven her. Just as Christ has already forgiven you. When you come to Jesus Christ, he's already forgiven you. You don't have to fear coming to Jesus with anything that's going on in your life. Neither should your wife have to fear that with you. Suppose she went out shopping and she spent an extra $50. And she's like, uh-oh. Does she fear coming to you? If so, you better check your attitude. You better check what's going on. Yeah. Jesus doesn't chase us away. Mm-mm. Husbands, love your wives as Christ did the church. That she knows, does that mean she should keep on doing that? No. God forbid. God tells us the same thing. Does that mean that we should keep on sinning? No. God forbid. But if we do, we have an advocate. We got someone that chooses to forgive us. Husbands, that's what you are to your wives. Someone that has chosen to forgive her. Already. Otherwise, don't get married. Men, if you can't do that, don't get married. That's very serious. Choosing to forgive her. And then, verse 27, to present her to himself as a radiant church. Men, if you are walking with God and you are understanding these principles in the Spirit, you will have a wife that will just be exploding with radiant joy. Just like the church of Jesus Christ, that filled with the Spirit of God, is radiant and it's passionate about the things of Jesus Christ. So will your wife if you understand that principle. It's not rocket science. It's very simple and yet it's very real. And yet we miss it so many times. Okay, presenting her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish. Wipe it away. Whatever your wife has ever done, wipe it away. Love her as Christ loved the church. Love her just the same way. Blameless. Holy. Whew. Wow. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds it and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Verse 32, this is a profound mystery because it includes body, soul, and spirit, not just flesh. This is all three. It's a profound mystery. And by the way, a mystery is not something that God does not want us to understand. It's not a mystery out there somehow. I don't know how I'm going to understand all this. It is something that God wants you to understand in light of His Spirit, not in light of this world system. That's why it's a mystery. It comes from the spirituality of God. It comes from the spirituality of God, not from something you can learn in this world system. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. It's not an option. It's not an option. And sometimes we get our feelings all mixed up with the facts that God has set up in Scripture. And yet, if we understand what is going on, I would love to go so much further with all that, but for the sake of where we're at, I'm not going to do that. But if anybody ever wants to, I would love to do a whole lot more on that whole understanding of what is going on in the marriage. Okay? Malachi 2, 15 to 17. Has not the one God made you? He's asking a question. Has not just this one God made you? You belong to him in body and spirit. And what does the one God seek? He seeks godly offspring. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth. The man who hates and divorces his wife, says the Lord, the God of Israel, does violence to the one he was called to protect. I need that to stick. Does violence to the one he was called to protect, says the Lord Almighty. That's not who Dwayne said it. That's God himself. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful. You have wearied the Lord with your words. How have we wearied him, you ask? By saying, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them, or where is this God of justice? I'll just go do whatever I want. It don't really matter. And we weary the Lord with this type of thinking that's all around us. And these things have come into our marriages so... And they are bent on destroying. And by the way, Satan is definitely playing for keeps. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he is bent on doing it in the marriage first. Because if the marriage is ruined, it is the most beautiful form of worship God ever instituted, that between a man and a woman, to bring honor and glory to God. And if that can be destroyed, you can have all the worship you want right here in church on a Sunday morning, and I love it, don't get me wrong. But it is nothing compared to the connectedness of a man and a woman in body, soul, and spirit. And God ordained it that way. That is way more powerful of worship to God. And it makes him look good when we understand that. Hebrews 13:4 says, honor marriage and guard the sacredness of sexual intimacy between wife and husband. God draws a firm line against casual or illicit sex. If we do not understand some of these principles, and the one thing just in closing here, our world is so saturated with computers. So saturated. And at the click of a button, you can have pornography or romance novels or anything right there to try and feast your eyes and your mind and fill your heart with all kinds of junk. It's all right there. And at the rate the world's going, this is what our next generation is going to think. Maybe that's why abortion is so high. Because we don't take it serious anymore. And we think we can just print them out. It's all on computer, right? I think with everything that was said this morning, I just want to say this. I want to bless you all for listening. My heart is heavy on this type of a subject because of my wife and I's journey. And if I could share it one more time, I would.
I understand this stuff probably deeper than a lot of people because of where we've been and where we came from. But God of heaven is so righteous. And he is so redemptive. And today I'm so thankful for that. But I plead with people to understand that before they have to go through what we did. I really do. I plead that people would understand that. The truths of marriage and what it really means and what's all involved with that. Let's just pause for a word of prayer. I would just like to say this. If there's any men here, specifically, that want prayer to say, I want to lead my home the way God intended, I'm going to ask the men to come up front. Every one of you that wants to know, that just says, you know what? I want to lead my home the way God intended. Just come up right now. Just come on up. Anyone that says that, I want to lead my home the way God intended. I want to just pray for men, especially this morning. It's not that women aren't important. It's just that I believe our future of our church stands in the ability for men to be able to lead their families. If they cannot lead their families, they cannot obviously lead a church, and therefore they cannot obviously lead a whole congregation of people if their family is not led the way God intended. Let's just bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you today for your love. And today I just pray a blessing on these men that you've called out, these men that you have given responsibility. God, it's not a burden. And I pray that everyone here would not look at it as a burden, but it is a joy to serve the living God and to look into your word and to understand your laws and to understand your precepts and to understand what's going on in our families. God, I just pray that that anointing would come down from heaven and flow through every one of these men. And if there's anything going on that does not belong there, I pray that they would get real and chase it out in the name of Jesus. It has no right to be there. Father, they would be able to walk in boldness, knowing who they are in Christ, knowing who their family is, and knowing that their family is at stake if they are following anything that does not belong to you. So God, I commit them to you today in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I just bless each one of you. Keep on keeping on. Don't keep thinking about it. What is it out there that we make agreements with that do not belong to the kingdom of heaven? And cast them out. Bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you. You're all dismissed.